Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God today. Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God. And as you find your place here in Psalm chapter 18, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalm chapter number 18. And if you're visiting with us today, we've been in a series now looking at a journey in the Psalms, a journey in the Psalms. And we've been coming kind of verse by verse through several different Psalms now. And we do thank the Lord for what He's doing in our Sunday morning services. And if you're visiting with us today, we do welcome you here to Cross Point Baptist Church. And if you've not had a chance to walk by the Welcome Center, please do so right after this morning service. We'd love to get a record of your visit. My wife and I will be back there after this morning services. And we'd love to shake your hand and get to know you just a little bit better. As I look around, I do see some family that is still in town that maybe invited for the graduation, I was about to say anniversary, the graduation, and it's good to see you here today. As I look in the back, I do see Chris. Chris, good to see you. Chris Turner here, and Chris was a student at West Coast Baptist College. Shocked to see you here today, brother, but good to see you, and played for West Coast Baptist College Eagles. Good basketball player. Chris, good to see you, and others. Again, we just welcome you here, and we're going to dive into this passage of Scripture. Before we do so, I want to remind you of something, okay? It's a little bit different. If you're visiting with us, we don't do this every week, but it's kind of neat. So today is race day here in Indianapolis. For some of you, like me, who's brand new to this, it's like it's kind of just another Sunday. But for some of you, you understand that there's going to be a lot of traffic. I guess restaurants are a little bit busy today, you know. So what we're going to do is we're going to change up our services a little bit. It's okay. We're going to be okay, all right? All right, I know for some of you there is, I can't believe it, you take the Independent Fundamental Baptist card from them, they're no longer. No, understand, we're going to be okay, we're going to still gather, but we're going to change our services from 6 o'clock to 1:30. So there will be no evening services tonight. If you show up here at 6 o'clock, just go ahead and have a service, because we're nobody else is going to be here, okay? But we're going to gather at 1:30. 1:30. So I've heard that if I preach until 1:20, we just go right into that other service and we're done for the day. But we're not going to do that. I'm going to let you out in plenty of great time today so that you can run out, grab something to eat, and then come back. Now, this is, I just want to say this. Because we're changing these services, it's so that we beat the traffic. And it's so that we get done in great time and we can have some time with our family this afternoon that's in town. We're not changing our services so that you could just skip after this service. Oh, no amens there? Boy, let me tell you something. I can preach as long as I want right now. It's only 11:12. So we did not change the services so that we just skip tonight. We want to come and we want to gather. Pastor Chris, really, this is the honest truth. Pastor Chris is going to lead us in one hymn, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I saw it. And then we're going to jump right into dealing with stress this evening. Can you imagine? That's going to be the title of the message, Dealing with Stress. We're not going to be talking in our family series this evening. We're going to get right back into that next week. But I'm going to bring, I always call it this, a charge. You know what a charge is, Pastor? You know what a charge is. A charge is like a shortened message. So we're going to come in, we're going to sing one hymn, we're going to, how do we deal with stress biblically, okay? And then we'll be done, and we'll head out, we'll beat the traffic, and some of you might even be going over to the race or whatever, and you didn't give me tickets. I'm a little bit mad about that, but still, we're going to have a great day in the Lord's house. Psalm chapter number 18 is where we find our place. Would you look with me at verse number 3? Psalm chapter 18. Look with me at verse number 3. The Bible says this: I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. This morning, I want to once again look at this passage of Scripture, part 5 of this series that we've been in, What God Is to Me. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, once again, that we can come, we can gather, we can pray, we can sing, we can worship. And Father, we can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd not allow us to get into a rush today, but Father, as our Bibles are open, we've been learned about You. Gleaned from the Word of God. As Savior, once again, You would do what only You can do, and that is work and move in our lives. We're not here to appease the flesh today, Savior. We are here so that we can draw, so that we can chew, and so that, Father, we can take what we learn and share it with the rest of the world. Father, I ask, Lord, once again, if there is one soul here that does not know you, I mean, Savior, that they have never been saved, would today be the day of salvation? Father, thank you once again for those who each and every week devote their time in a day and age where it's not real popular to go to church. Father, there are those who are here today. Thank you, Father, for those who couldn't be here with us but are still tuned in via live stream today. Lord, help them to put away the distractions and tune into your word, whether sitting at a kitchen table or on the couch today or maybe laid up somewhere. Father, Lord, just encourage them through your word. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been looking at this sermon title, What God Is to Me. We've seen through the ages many who have a God, but there are few that know the true and living God. We've asked this question now, going on 5 weeks, the question that even Christ asked of his disciples, who is Jesus to you and I? And we've seen religion oftentimes will give us that God to us is this genie in a bottle. He's someone that we go to when we need help. He's someone we go to and call upon him during a dark time in our life or during the ebb and flow of life. To many, God is just that fire insurance that, well, they got saved and they know they're going to heaven, so then the rest of their life is lived with their dreams and their aspirations and what they want out of life. It's just kind of this, okay, thank you, God, I'm glad I'm not going to hell, and so now I could just bask in the opportunity to one day that I'm going to see you face to face. But as we've been realizing, you see, God is so much more than that to you and I. And as this psalmist begins to write, just after a very difficult time in his life, David, who has been on the run from Saul, now is having that victory. He's tasting that victory. And God uses him in a great way to begin to pen the words of this psalm. We saw, first of all, in this series, number one, that he is our delight. We saw this in verse number one when the psalmist said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He is our delight. You and I take delight in him, that he is our strength. He is all that you and I need. But then we also saw, number two, that he is our dependence. Look at verse number two. He said this, the Lord, I love the writing there, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And David allows us to see the heart of one who is engaged in worship. And this worship is not to anyone that helped. It's not to those who might have been on a battlefield with him. It was not to those who were hiding with him. No, I love that the Lord, and then he uses these eight metaphors to begin to explain who God is to him. And you and I begin to take these passages of scripture and we begin to apply them to our lives. That yes, he is our delight. That yes, he is our dependence. But today I want to concentrate on number three. If you're taking notes, would you write this down? Number three, he is the focus of our devotion. Number three, he is the focus of our devotion. Verse number three says this, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. The idea communicated here is that the psalmist is aware of the power and this praiseworthy God, that he is pledging his life and walk in the awareness of the greatness and the power of God, who is worthy to be praised. You see, as Christians, this ought to be the focus of our life. As Christians, this ought to be core in the life of you and I. It was in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 17 that says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Most High. You see, today, listen and tune in now. You and I hear much about praise in churches. We hear much about praise from pastors. We hear much about praise in our worship services, but many churches and pastors have gotten away from real praise. You see, the day and age that you and I live in, we are very good at praising a lot of things, aren't we? We're really good at all of those who walked across this platform this past week, and we gave them praise, and that honor was due to them. They accomplished much. Listen, seniors, very carefully, you know I love you, and I'm not taking away from what you accomplished, but I am saying this, we gave praise to every one of them. Why? Because they accomplished something. We give praise to our grandkids who learn to take their first steps, or who are in kindergarten and they get their first butterfly sticker, and we give praise to a basketball team who takes the title and wins it all. We give a praise to the baseball team that gets the pennant. We give praise to those who win an election in politics. We give praise to our spouses who have made it another year, an anniversary or wedding or whatever the case may be. I'm just put it this way. Listen, praise is not bad, but we've really become very good as Christians at praising others. But what about our own life? Isn't it amazing how often we praise our own selves? Look at me. Look what I've done. Look at my accomplishments. Look how awesome I am. Even, listen, now, not everybody, if you tune out right here, you're going to miss it, but even as Bible-believing Christians, we become good at praising the standards that we have. Look at me, and look at the tie that I wore, and look at the tie that I put in the offering, and look how many I brought for Pack-a-Pew Sunday, and look how many chapters I read in my Bible, and look at my kids, and how good they look. And to be honest with you, if you're not careful, you and I even live in this realm of this religious checklist that we feel like we ourselves ought to be praised. Hey, God, look at me. Look how good I did this past week. Look how many tracts I handed out. Look at what I accomplished for you and in whatever it might be, filling in the blank. Listen very carefully. Are those things wrong? Absolutely not. Are they bad? No, without a doubt they are not. But friend, I'm here to tell you, if you and I are not careful, we begin to puff ourselves up and it becomes this all about me show to where we almost feel like the world revolves around us. And what we're reminded by the psalmist today is this. David is not saying, look at me, look what I accomplished, look how awesome I am, look at Saul, you couldn't get me, na 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 boo boo, look at this. No, what David begins to do is it begins to stop. He gives us these incredible metaphors of what God is to him, but then he pauses for a moment and he begins to give God praise. And in the day and age that you and I live, friend, I've said it and I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over again. May you and I never let the Presbyterians and the Methodists and every other religion out there scare us as Baptists from giving praise to the Almighty. That means this. It's okay to say amen in church. It's okay to be happy about Christ. It's okay to sing the hymns. It's okay to give God praise. If you agree with that, say amen this morning. But you know, the how of our praise is vitally important. Oh, it's vitally important. You see, you and I are to praise Him with our mouths. The Bible says in Psalm 109 and verse number 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. That means this, with our mouths we are praising Him, but we're also praising Him in the multitude. That means this, not only with our mouths, but in front of others. It was Acts chapter 3 and verse number 9 that says, and all the people saw Him walking and praising God. In the day and age that you and I live, you know, this world, honestly, now look, watch right here. The world sees us complain a lot, do they not? Oh, we do. Now look, don't say you're like, well, maybe that's you, Pastor. We're all good at complaining, whether we do it verbally or in our mind. Some of you went to tie your shoes today, and it's a little bit further than it used to be. Oh, and you grumbled and complained, and it's only supposed to be 70 degrees, so we can't complain really too much about the weather, but for some of you who want the 84 and 97% humidity, oh, it's so cold out, it's May 30th, it's supposed to be so much warmer. We complain because, oh, somebody took our parking spot, walked in, oh, somebody took my seat. Listen, I'm going to pause right here, a little commercial break, okay? I'm the pastor, I'm allowed to do this. If you come in and somebody's taking your seat, I'm going to help you right now. This is incredible. Write it down. It's not in the Bible, but it's pretty good, okay? If somebody's taking your seat, the front row is always open. Pastor Foe, is it not? Is what? Why nobody want to sit up here? No, I mean, this is you pay big money to go to a basketball game and to sit down front. Some of you are chuckling, but I'm just telling you, I'm getting the flesh right now, just saying. These are good seats, Pastor Chris. We have got to start. I'm telling you what, I'm going to start bringing my pulpit, and I'm going to start putting it right here. And all of a sudden, everybody back here, all of a sudden, where'd you go? Oh, you're up front, huh? We're just going to, Pastor Foe, I'm going to trick it up every week. I'm just going to keep moving around and moving around and moving around till we just fill this place up. Let's just do that, amen? Understand, we have got to get back to giving God praise. And how are we going to do this? With our mouth, but also in the multitude. Amongst other people. Because we complain about a lot. Isn't it amazing, excuse me, parents, and we're going to hit this about two or three Sunday nights from now, but I'm here to tell you what is detrimental to our kids. Everybody, let's all tune in. Grandparents, we can hear this as well. Future parents, this is great for you. We are doing our kids no favors by complaining about what God is doing in a place like Cross Point Baptist Church. Somebody help me out with an amen today. If by you and I living our lives care if we live our lives just constantly complaining, well, this isn't right. Well, it's pollen season. Well, it's snow. Well, it's hot. Well, it's humid. Well, the Sunday school teacher. Well, the service didn't go right. Well, the Sunday school teacher. Well, the deacon. Well, the piano player. Well, this. Well, I'm just here to tell you what we are handing down to the next generation of Christians, the next generation of Americans, the next generation that is going to be carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are handing to them a negative attitude. Friend, may it never be said about the folks here at Cross Point Baptist Church that we concentrated so much on the negative that we forgot to stop and pause and just give God praise. Just give Him praise. We all have a mouth, do we not? Most of us in this room have Facebook, do we not? Uh-oh. Now, I'm not going to go there, but I'm just saying. If we jump on Facebook, which I'm not on often, and I try to get on, I try to post some stuff, but I'll be honest, as I start scrolling, I'd say a huge percentage of it is not super positive. Oh, it's fight and argument still. Can you imagine? Still over the coronavirus. Oh, it's fights and arguments over worship services. Fighting arguments over who did it best and who sang this and who did this and who's going here and who's doing what. It's so amazing. Isn't it unbelievable that even in high schools across our nation, a mega fight broke out in Texas because of parents battling back and forth over GPAs. I can't even imagine getting to a place where fist fights break out over complaining over the GPA that's not going to matter a hill of beans 500 years from now, 100 years from now. To be honest with you, as soon as they get to college in 5 months, it doesn't even matter. But yet, that is how carnal America has become. It complain, complain, complain. Negative, negative, negative. Can I say this, friend? I think at Cross Point Baptist Church, we just ought to get back to giving and exalting our Savior and giving Him praise for what He's done in our life. Oh, it's giving Him praise with our mouth and giving Him praise in the multitude, but let me put it this way. It's also praising God with excitement. Ezra chapter 3 and verse number 11 says this, and they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto God, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to have enjoyment. It is okay. Listen, friend, I know we go through tough times. I know even verse number 4 here in just a moment, it's not the most happy and peppy verse, but let me put it this way. Even in a day and age that you and I live, it is still okay to smile. It is still okay to be happy. It is still okay to exalt Christ. I love the verse that says this: moreover, Hezekiah, the king of princes, command the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises, check this out, with gladness. And they bowed their heads and worshiped. Psalm chapter 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord, check it out, with sadness. Nope. Serve the Lord with dreadness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Friend, let me put it this way. Even though we are a Baptist church, or we believe in the Baptist distinctives, and we have the Word of God as our foundation, I'm just here to tell you, friend, we ought to still be excited about what God is doing in our lives. That means this: it's okay to smile. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to rejoice with those who are visiting today. It's okay to rejoice in our seniors that walked across. And yes, I get it, we're going to miss them as they go to college. But friend, aren't you excited that there's a group of young people that are saved and baptized and discipled, and really, if we pray for them in the right way, going to turn this world upside down? Amen. That's something to praise them about. You know, I've often wondered why churches in America, in a great part, most of the good ones really are dying off. In 2019, we planted evangelicals, that kind of group, which would us and a bunch of other ones that would still be gospel-centered, maybe not our circle, so don't take this out of context, but planted about 3,000 churches in America. And praise the Lord for that. But you know that 4,500 of them shut their doors. What does that mean? We're hurting. Well, what does this mean? Well, we're living in the last day. We know this. But I'm here to tell you that there is a part to this pie that's missing. And there is a part that is missing in our Baptist churches today. And I believe that just not a key ingredient, but one of the ingredients that's not welcoming people in the doors is our attitude outside of this place. Are we happy to come to church? Let me say this. Are we happy to come to church? Then the lost world ought to see that. Can't wait to go to church. You say, Pastor, you're just plugging in a commercial. No, I'm just actually kind of concerned about the souls in our area. Amen. Well, you just want numbers. Who doesn't? People getting saved, baptized, discipled. Who wouldn't want that? Well, I think we ought to just stay small and, you know, us four no more. I'm here to tell you, friend, you're in the wrong place, because we have a limited amount of time and we've got to get the gospel out. And the gospel in that time is right now. And friend, I'm telling you, an ingredient that is missing is the joy of the Lord that lives inside of you and I. And you and I ought to make a joyful noise to the Lord. You and I ought to be excited about church. Church is not one of these, oh, fine, put on the jacket, shine my shoes, get ready, where's the hairspray, get 5 kids in the van, hurry up, I'm using this as an example, and let's go, and it's all the drudgery. No, friend, what it ought to be in our lives is that you and I get to go sing, we get to go worship, we get to go praise, we get to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me, you don't know how they hurt me, and oh, back in 1997, they said this, and I know they were talking about me. You know what, friend? Maybe they did, and shame on them, but you and I are not the judge. We have a Savior. He is resurrected. He lives on high. You and I ought to have some enthusiasm about praising Him. Rejoice.
watched our graduates this past Friday, and it was amazing picture. Actually, Carrie, not sure what do you call it on Instagram, where it's a picture that's like on a loop, you know, and they're kind of, and they come back, and they, what's that called? It's a story, but it's kind of this, I don't even know. Like, anyways, they're throwing all their hats in the air. You know, a boomerang, that's what it's called. It's a picture that you take on Instagram. It's a filter, and it's called a boomerang, which means they do a motion, and then they come back down. And they do a motion. It's kind of mesmerizing. But anyways, I watched all of our seniors, and they took their hats, and they took their hats off. They're graduated. They're done with high school. Wow, that's great, and it's wonderful. And they all got in the gym, and they all gather around. They do this boomerang. They throw their hats in the air, and the hats come back down. And this is the picture over and over and over again. And I watched that picture. And I thought, you know what? I love that our kids are rejoicing because they accomplished something. What are they doing? Celebrating. Well, I didn't see Austin up here. Well, I didn't want to graduate. I didn't see Aaron mumbling around. Oh, good grief. When Maddie and Miss Sharp and so many others came up here, Hannah gave their, you know, their speech. It wasn't, oh, we made it. It was awful. And I wish we could do it all over again. Now, what were they doing? They were celebrating. Let me put it this way. Jesus Christ came, died 3 days later, conquered death, lives in heaven today, lives in our heart. We have the joy of the Lord, and we get to live with him for all of eternity. You know what our boomerang ought to be in church? Rejoicing. Happy, wonderful, praise, amazement. He's good. He's worthy. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet, Brother Mancroni, he is our very best friend. Friend, I'm here to tell you, I can't even say it, Brother Bob, without a smile on my face, that this is the God that you and I worship. And yet, isn't it amazing what we begin to concentrate on is the here and the now and the arguments and the back and the forth and the ignoring of a brother or sister in Christ from something that's happened a long time ago, or bitterness, or pride, or sin, and we concentrate on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, and we live down here. Meanwhile, there is a God in heaven that deserves our praise, my friend. Amen. But you know what I love about that passage of Scripture? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence. Listen to the word here. With, everybody say that last word out loud. Uh-oh, Pastor Chris. We're supposed to come into his presence and praise him in singing. Now look, I just be honest with you, I will be the first to admit I do not have a great voice. I'm probably not going to be welcomed up to sing in a quartet, Brother Habing. It's probably not going to happen, and I'm okay with that. You know, I get my feelings hurt every once in a while, but nonetheless, I just get it. I get it. Okay, look, I don't have a great voice, all right? But God didn't say to sing if you have a great voice. He just said, come into his presence with singing. I know we got our teenagers in here today. So teenagers, I love you, and let me talk to you just for a second. We're heading into a series, so you've been on my mind a lot lately as Carrie and I have been praying for you. Teenagers, there are going to be some in your life that try to make it uncool if you sing to God. Is it, don't sing. It's not cool. If you want to be cool, here's how you stand. You just stand like this while everybody else is giving praise to God. But, you know, we're the cool ones. Don't listen to them. Just don't listen to them. God says we're to sing. Let's just sing. Look, I don't have a voice like Pastor Chris in that song. I've never heard that song before. It's amazing. I just be honest with you. We probably wouldn't be as concentrated on the slideshow if I would have sang that song. Because we'd be like, oh, mercy. Get them all, boo. You know, it was just 1 minute. It's great, okay? But nonetheless, listen very carefully. It's because I don't have a voice like him doesn't mean that I'm not commanded to sing. You see, there's many verses in the Word of God. Check this out. Listen very carefully. Watch this. It says this. The Lord is the strength of my shield, the heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoiceth. Listen very carefully. And with my song will I praise him. Psalm chapter 69 and verse number 30. I will praise the name of the God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 47 and verse number 6. Sing praises unto God. Sing praises unto the King.
sing praises. That means this: you and I ought to sing. We ought to lift our voices. We ought to praise Him. Friend, listen, if you know me well by now, I am not into worship wars. I am not into this person versus that person, or what you hear about the church down the street. Friend, I'm not concerned with all that. Here's what I'm concerned with: that you and I get back to the Word of God, and when we walk in this place, we ought to have our hearts in tune, ready to sing praises to the one who is worthy. Amen. Sing praise to Him. You know, we really ought to give praise with steadfastness. I'm going to put it this way. You ready for this? Life is not always great, is it? You know, bad things do happen to good people. And whether we are in a valley, like verse number 4 and verse number 5 that we're going to get to, or whether we are kind of on this mountaintop, verse number 3, of what God has done, our praise ought to be the same. Magnifying Him, glorifying Him, exalting Him. Oh, Brother Dirk, boy, I'm telling you, when the kids are doing good, it's time to praise. Yep, we get that, raising young kids right now. You know, our kids aren't always perfect, are they? Now, I know some of you think they are, and the older you get, the better they were, but trust me, no one's kids are perfect. No one's marriage is perfect. But Matt, I can go as far as say this: none of us in this room are perfect, are we? If you're perfect, say amen. Good, good, amen, amen. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, you and I serve a perfect God. We talk about America, the America that was and the America that is today. They're vastly different from 1776. Very different. We don't exalt God like we used to. I believe, this is personal, but I believe we made a vital mistake. We brought prayers out of the public schools. I think we made a big mistake there, and it's costing us. I believe we made a massive mistake when we legalized abortion. And it's cost tens of millions of lives right here on our soil. I believe we've made a massive mistake when federal government stepped in and began to let every state, or made the decision for every state, that homosexuality was going to be okay in common law. You see, in decisions that we've made in our nation, we've gone against God. Gone against Him. To where we've come to a place nowadays in America, we're putting your hand over your heart and saying the pledge is divisive. But friend, I'm going to put this as delicately as I can. The fix to the sins of America's past and America's future is not the White House. And it's not the state house downtown. It's not going to be, gentlemen, for all of us that wore our, you know, I didn't have an American flag tie, but Carrie picked this one out, and I think it's pretty fitting, Brother Jim. It's pretty close, I'm pretty sure. You know, this is not going to be the fix to all of our problems. The gospel of Jesus Christ is. Amen. Amen. And while we can get down at the sins of our nation and stop there and, oh, woe is me, and that's it. We can stop there and just coast on home. Or we can be excited looking for that blessed hope. Amen. Knowing that God's going to come again one day. Not everything that happened this past week was great. Even in our Sunday school class, Miss Jenny, I don't think, minds me sharing, got into an accident. Why'd you get in an accident? You know, oh, it's so sad. And it's a car, and I go through insurance, all this. But I love that she began to say, you know, I had that opportunity to begin to talk to, I believe her name was Michelle. Carrie, is that right? Michelle, that she's witnessing to. Excuse me. Look, look, look. I'm almost done. Don't tune out just yet. Watch.
We heard Brianna, one of our own Cross Point Baptist church young adults here. She was so excited about going to camp. Good night. And she's kind of quiet. And she's so excited to go to Southland. And she's going to work down there in Louisiana. And got down there, long trip, all the way down. Drove this past Friday, I believe it was, last Friday. Teens are going to be coming in. It's going to be a great young adult down there working. Jumped into a swimming pool just last night. Broke her leg. Kids aren't even there yet. Now, but Brian, I'm not even sure what's going to happen. I have to come home, distraught, heart's hurting. You ever ask why? Why, God? Why did this happen? You see, there's the part of us that just wants to reason, God, this should not happen to me. And yet, God in heaven knew 1,000 years ago Brianna was going to jump in that pool and was going to break her leg. He knew 10,000 years ago, Jenny, wherever you are, I'm so sorry for using the example, but you know, 10,000 years ago, you were going to get into that car accident. You know why? His way is always right. It's okay. Do we come in and, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, my goodness, this is so down in our nation. It's awful. And, oh, the abortion. Oh, the prayer to schools. And, oh, I can't even talk about the patriotism today. And, oh, our president doesn't understand. And, oh, my goodness, the vice president, can you even imagine? Oh, she broke her leg. And, oh, it's down, it's out. And, oh, it's good to be in church today, wasn't it? Or we could stop and give him praise. Brianna's going to heal. Jen's going to get a new car. Hey, might be a good thing. It's going to be great. God's still on the throne. He still lives. He's still ruling. He's still reigning. If you're saved today, say amen. You're saved yesterday, you're saved today. How many are thankful we don't lose our salvation? Say amen. We could praise him for that. I understand the United States has gotten bad, and I like to talk politics just like any other guy or Joe in here, but let me just put it this way. Friend, I'm not going to concentrate on where we've been and where we're here. I'm just going to keep plowing ahead. We want to win policy. We got to get back to winning people. We start winning people, we'll win policy. And friends, let me just put it this way. Christ did not come to overtake Rome. He did not come for his homeland. He was not there for, you know, patriotism. You say, oh, pastor, now watch it. And who, let me tell you something. There's not anyone that is more patriotic than this man right here. Both of my grandparents and my dad side fought in World War II. My grandmother was a secretary for Ike. My grandfather on my mom's side fought in the Korean War. It runs through my veins, but let me just put it this way. The Bible says that Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. That is our number one goal. That is what you and I are working towards. That is what is going to change this country. And friend, we can get down and we can get out and oh, woe is me and why is this happening? Or friend, you and I can just get back to today and say this, I am thankful and I want to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and I want to praise his name.